Well, before I dive into this particular weekend's message, let me tell you that next weekend, God's already working full-time in my head and heart about. And I'm pretty pumped about it because next weekend I'll be delivering a message called Jesus the Great Physician. That incredible historical title for Jesus Christ. And we're going to learn and discover what it means to know Jesus as the Great Physician, the healer of our lives, and what it means to experience healing now of mind and body and spirit, and what do we do with the hurts and pains that we have in our lives to emerge victorious from them. And that's a high invitation weekend. I know it's Memorial Day weekend, but I know you, not only will you all be here, but you'll be inviting five people to bring with you, right? Right? You're thoroughly unconvincing to me. So anyway, that's a huge deal that God's going to be doing next weekend, and we're going to be doing some special stuff along with that. But this weekend, God really has something special in store. In fact, some very good news this weekend. Because what we're dealing with is how to receive God's blessings. And let me just ask right off the bat here by a show of hands, how many of you want to receive more of God's best blessings in your life? Yeah, if your hand's not up, you're weird. So let's get one thing straight, the foundation for everything I'm going to be communicating here today. And that is, God wants to bless you. God is predisposed to bless you. He wants to bless your socks off. He wants to pour incredible things into your life. He wants to pour provision in your life. He wants to pour provision of prosperity in your life financially. He wants to pour provision in your life relationally, health-wise, mentally. He wants to give you a sense of peace and power and purpose in your life. God wants to bless you. He's not stingy. He's not mean. He's not holding out on you. But, and there's always a but, isn't there? Okay, here's the deal. This is the rub. Are you opening or closing your life to the best of God's blessings? That's really where the rubber meets the road. If we know that God is already predisposed to bless us and bless us richly, then we have to understand that often our lives are acting as the conduit, therefore, in a very constricted way for those blessings of God. See, it's almost like the aperture on a camera lens that closes or opens depending on how much light we want to hit the film. And so often we have these closed, very constricted apertures, and we're wondering why we're not receiving all of God's blessings when we need to learn how to open up that aperture. We need to learn how to open up that conduit. See, a lot of us, we pray for a bushel of God's blessings, but we're holding out a thimble. We don't realize it because we don't realize, you know, that's how we're positioning our lives. That's how we're in or out of alignment with God. And we're not in a right sort of place in our lives to receive the best of God's blessings because He's predisposed to do that for us. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start by understanding that there's four truths to help open your life to the best of God's blessings. There's four simple truths. And it starts with the understanding before we even get to those truths. And I'm going to show you this. I'm going to physically demonstrate this to you. I'm going to show you the predominant focal point that becomes the chokehold for God's blessings that He wants to pour into your life. I'm going to show you the predominant way that God wants to bless you and rock your world. I'm going to show you the number one way that we can either hold out a bushel or a thimble to God for His blessings. Are you ready to see it? You want to see it?
Yeah.
All right, here it is. Yeah, my wallet, not yours, just my, no. Your wallet, your purse, your pocketbook, your bank account, whatever it is. Now, I know as soon as I did that, there were several of you who went, oh, man, it's one of those weekends. That pastor's talking about money. Well, you know what? Just like turn down your freak out meter a little bit. And let me just say these things about it. Number one, I want to make a huge apology to you. I mean, so rarely speak on this. In fact, last time I really did a message like this was like 3 years ago. And that's pastoral malpractice. And I just confess, I apologize to you because I'm doing you a disservice. This is the number one way that God wants to open up powerful blessings in your life of all manner, financial and otherwise. And I've not been your best pastor because I have not communicated these truths enough to you. And I'm sorry about that. So I'll do this kind of message every weekend. I apologize on that. And then secondly, those of you, you know, who've been around here the whole 23-year run with me, you know that that you don't need to freak out right now. I am not into fear, guilt, manipulation, or shame when it comes to messages like this. All right, for two reasons. One, that kind of junk only works for a very short span of time. It has no sustainable shelf life of integrity to it in anybody's heart. And number two, God is not a God of guilt, fear, manipulation, and shame, so neither should my preaching. I just believe in being real, practical, helpful, and encouraging out of God's truths about this subject matter. Because it really is the key to blessing in your life and in my life. So, let's understand what these truths are. And that is, number one, finances are a spiritual matter. That's where we get off track right at the very beginning. We think it's about money. It's not about money at all. Finances are a spiritual matter. This is about your relationship with God. It's about your discipleship growth. It's about joy and hope and peace in your life. It's not about money. And Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will also be. Now, someone's saying, oh, gosh, someone like typed that wrong. No. Oh, wherever my heart is, that's where my money's going to follow. Or wherever my mind is, well, that's where my money. No. Jesus, he didn't get it wrong. Jesus knew wherever our money goes, our heart's automatically going there. It's tethered. Wherever our money goes, our mind is going to follow. So I just want your heart smart. I want your minds to be in a place of blessing, your hearts to be in a place of blessing. Okay? Number two, we are stewards, not owners of all God has given us. 1 Corinthians, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. This again is another reason why we get so messed up. We really do. We totally mess this stuff up because we think we own stuff. You don't own a thing. I don't own a thing. The tile in my kitchen is God's. I'm a steward for a while. I'm a trustee for a while. I'm just kind of a manager for a while I'm on earth of all of God's good gifts in my life. Amen? We don't own a thing. We just manage it for God. And see, because we get these first two concepts all messed up, that finances are a spiritual matter and God owns everything, that's why we deal with a lot of junk in our lives. Can I be honest about why this is more a message of pastoral care and comfort than it is anything about stewardship? And that's because finances, differing financial styles, and financial arguments and financial debt are the number one reason for divorces in North America today. Financial debt and financial stress are the number one stated reason for suicides in America today. Financial debt and financial stress are the number one stated stressor in the lives of Americans today. Do you think God wants that for us? No. God loves us so much, He doesn't want us to live with that stress and that anxiety and that burden of debt and that hurt in our lives. And so God wants us to know these truths that set us free. This is about liberty today. And that's what these truths are about. So number three, our faith is developed by trusting in God, not money. Scripture tells us, stay away from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you, I will never forsake you. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you believe that the stock market can fail you? Amen. Investments can fail you. All right? Real estate can fail you. People can fail you. God will never fail you. God will never forsake you. This is about growing a huge heart of faith and trust in God, not putting all of our faith and hope and trust in material things in our lives. And did you notice, let's get clear about this. It says, stay away from the love of money. A lot of us, we misread Scripture. We think it says, for money is the root of all evil, elsewhere in the New Testament. But what does it say? For the love of money. Money's a neutral commodity. It's just a neutral commodity. It's how we use it. It's how we view it. We're either dominated by money or we dominate money. All right? We either love money or we love God. Jesus said, there's no middle ground. You either love money and or you love life. You love God, okay? So, number four, God's plan for financial freedom and blessing is the tithe. Now, I just heard another sort of audible wave of, oh, not only is he talking about money, but now he's going to mention this tithe thing. All right, let's get clear. I'm getting at the good stuff now. You should be shouting. You should be saying amen, hallelujah. I'm getting at the good stuff for you right now. Because, and let me do this first before I kind of go on with this, because sometimes there's confusion about this, all right? Tithe literally means 10%. The tithe is the tenth. That's what that actually means. Because I know sometimes there may be some confusion about this. When you hear us say something like, okay, it's time to receive God's tithes and offerings. Well, why does he want my necktie? I don't know, just... We get confused about this stuff, and we get confused about tithes or offering. Tithe is 10%. It's the first fruit. It's the first 10% that comes to God in the church. Offerings are everything above and beyond the tithe. 11% or 12 or 13 or 14 or 15%, all right? I mean, for instance, Maisie and I were what's called tithe plus givers to the church, which means that we give 10%, the first fruit, and then, you know, we'll give, 11%, 12%, 13%, 14%, 50% that year, whatever. Like last year, it was a little higher percentage because of a big upfront gift to the Acts 1-8 Unwritten campaign. So years will ebb and flow, but there's always the 10%. Now, I've been a tither since I was in kindergarten. Seriously, no hyperbole there. My parents taught me how to tithe with my little allowance that I got, which, by the way, we got paid an allowance. We got a dime for each birthday. So when I turned from 10 to 11, I moved from 10 dimes to 11 dimes. You kids have it made today. Anyway, so, and my parents taught me. As soon as I got that, we would divide out 10%, and I'd take that to church with me that week. So I've tithed my whole life. It's not about being a pastor. It's just about being a Christ follower, okay? And when Maisie and I married, we tithed this as well. I mean, that's just kind of the deal on that. Now, it is a lot easier to be a lifelong tither when you've done it your whole life. It is, I'll just say, it is easier than just like diving right into it. If you're only giving it 4% and, you know, starting to work toward it, or you're giving it 7% and starting to work. In fact, I had an interesting conversation with a guy. This is years ago. He's very open, very just kind of transparent. He said, you know what? I used to tithe when I made around $50,000. He said, it was a big hit, but that $5,000, that 10%. He says, now that I make north of $200,000, I don't tithe anymore. He was just very honest with me about that. He says, that like $20,000, that's just like, I said, okay, let's pray together that God will lower your income back to $50,000. Will that help you with it? You know, so I just, you know, people just get weird about this stuff, all right? Now, so let's understand this. All right, there we go. Here's the scripture. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do this, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. That's the Italian prophet Malachi, by the way. So, the prophet Malachi, and I'm going to read a little bit beyond where he wrote there, okay? In Malachi 3:10, he said, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I'll pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Here's what's incredible about that. Throughout Scripture, and Jesus said it himself, do not put the Lord your God to the test. This is the one place in the Bible where God says, go ahead, test me, try it, bring it on. Test me in the tithe. And now he's speaking to an agricultural community here, not our modern economy. He says, you do that and your crops will be abundant, for I'll guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vines before they're ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So you have the full power of heaven on your side when it comes to your provision. And by the way, I'm glad I have God as my financial planner. Amen. In fact, this whole thing of tithing, you know, it makes me think about the two guys who fell overboard on a cruise ship when it was crossing the Pacific, and the strong currents made them drift for over a day and a night. Eventually, they washed up on this remote, uncharted desert isle. And one of the guys washed up in a complete panic. He says, they'll never find us. We're not going to survive. We're going to die here. He looks at the other guy who's so calm. He says, why are you so calm? The guy says, oh, don't worry. I earn over $1 million a year, and I tithe to my church. My pastor will find me. So let's dive into this issue. Why should I tithe? All right. Again, like I said, I believe in being practical and helpful here. Why should I tithe? Number one, because God the Father commands it. He says, a tenth of all you produce is the Lord's, and it's holy. Number two, because God the Son, Jesus, commands it. Jesus said, yes, you should tithe, and you shouldn't leave the more important things undone either. Now, you got to understand, when Jesus was talking about this, he's like, well, duh, you're going to tithe. Everybody's going to tithe. Everybody's going to give the 10%. I mean, he saw that kind of like as like the baseline. I mean, when he talked about real giving, he talked way above. So he's like, yeah, well, that's a sandbox, you know. Want to be in the rest of the playground? That's like kindergarten. Everybody's going to tithe. I mean, just it was foreign to Jesus that you'd think any other way. He said, yeah, of course you should tithe, but you shouldn't leave all the more important things. And then he went on to list the more important things, justice and mercy and faith and such, like the real deep end. He said, tithing, yeah, that's the kiddie pool. That's where it starts. And then you move into the deep end of the real good stuff. All right? And number three, tithing demonstrates that God has first place in my life. Scripture says the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first place in your life. Did you notice it doesn't say there, the purpose of tithing is to help the church budget? No. Now, that's a byproduct, the kingdom impact that happens. And you saw earlier today on the video what happens when generosity happens, how the community changes, how lives get transformed, how hearts get touched. All right, that's a byproduct. But understand, the main purpose of tithing is to grow us, teach us, to build our relationship with God. This is not a fundraising message. Far from it. This is a faith-raising message. This is a you-raising message. This is good news. Can I just tell you, I don't want anything from you. I want everything for you. And I know what a conduit of blessing this can be. I know it personally, and I know so many of you who do tithe and tithe plus givers, and you bear witness and give testimony to this. Amen. I just want so much for your lives as your pastor. And tithing teaches us always to put God first place in our lives. We wonder why we get so messed up. We wonder why our lives get so out of kilter. We wonder why. It's because God's not in first place. Here's the indicator that God's in first place in our lives, the tithe. Number four, tithing reminds me that everything was given to me by God. Always remember, Deuteronomy says, that it is the Lord your God who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Now, here's some clarification I want to give, too, because a lot of people get weird about this. They think that, you know, Scripture calls us like to vows of poverty or whatever, and, you know, we're just... The truth is, Scripture teaches, and even Jesus taught, and Jesus even had among his followers, Scripture teaches that wealth is good. And that we should strive to be wealthy. In fact, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, that incredible revolution, the Wesleyan Revival in the 1700s that changed the course of human history, of which we are a product of here at Van Dyke Church. John Wesley was a very wealthy man, the pastor John Wesley. But here's the deal. He taught three things about that. He said, earn all you can, so you can save all you can, so you can give all you can. It was a very simple equation for him because his wealth didn't own him. It didn't dominate him. He dominated his wealth. He told it what to do. And we just get all mixed up about this because we forget that it's the Lord our God who gives us the ability to produce wealth in the first place. Okay? All right. Next, number five, tithing expresses my thankfulness to God. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? The scripture says that every good gift comes from the Father above. He's given us so much. I mean, gosh, just 10%, that's just hardly a token of thankfulness that we can express to God. I feel almost like stingy that 90%. What is that about? And this, I want you to think about this. No matter what any financial provision is about in your life, no matter if we don't get anything else in our lives, we get in Jesus the reality that we have been forever forgiven by his work on the cross for us, because God loved you and me so much that he knew that we would never be able to experience a reconciliation with him, a closeness with him, because of what we owe in our sin debt. And therefore, God came and went to the cross for you and for me. And he gives us freedom and hope and redemption of our heavenly calling, as well as peace and blessings in this life on this side of heaven. And we should just be thankful that we're saved alone. Anything else that you get in your life, it's icing on the cake. Amen? It's icing on the cake. When you have that mentality, then everything that happens to you is like incredible cream cheese frosting. It's, you know, but we're just so like entitled feeling, and we just get so out of whack about all this stuff. That's why we can't enjoy the simple things, amen? Just the simple good gifts that God gives us. Number six, God says that refusing to tithe is stealing from him. Okay, I just felt the mood in the room shift. I even felt it shift online, yeah, okay. Everybody say whoa. Yeah, this is a whoa part. Hang on, buckle your seatbelts. Scripture tells us, God says, will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you ask, how do we rob you, God? And God says, in tithes and offerings, bring your whole tithe to my house. Now that sounds hard and harsh, that we'd be stealing from God if we're not giving 10% to our local church. But let me ask, how many of you are parents in the room? All right, you get this. Because God, again, remember the whole subtext behind all this. God wants to bless you. As parents, we want to bless our children. We want good things to happen to our children, and we don't want bad things to happen to our children. And so sometimes God has to do like a wake-up call in Scripture. Hey, this is the real deal, God says. This is serious stuff. This is intentional stuff. I need you to wake up to this. And that's what this is about in Malachi. It's saying, hey, this is very important because God doesn't want you to be hurt and a financial wreck. God doesn't want you stressed out over debt. God doesn't want you experiencing all that stuff that leads to that marital discord and that leads to suicides and leads to anxiety and panic attacks in our lives. God wants you set free as his children to enjoy the best of his blessings in life. And so God wants to create a great sense of intentionality about this because he's trying to love up on you. He's trying to love up on you. And not just because it's about respect and honor of God, and when we don't tithe, it's a way of disrespecting God. Because I think the main thing that happens, the main person that we steal from when we don't tithe is ourselves. I don't want to steal joy from myself, so I tithe. I don't want to steal peace from myself, so I tithe. I don't want to steal an incredible sense of empowering light over darkness in this community, so I tithe. I don't want to steal what it feels like to have hope win out over despair in people's lives in this world through the generosity of this church, so I tithe. I don't want to steal all that from myself, so I give. Why would I want to steal that from myself? And here's kind of a sub-teaching. I won't go fully into it. It's a whole separate message. But notice it says, bring your whole tithe to my house. So it's what's known as storehouse tithing. The Bible teaches that we're to bring the whole tithe to his house. The church is what that means today, your local church, of which this is obviously Van Dyke Church. See, there's some people who might say, well, I give 10%. In fact, I give even more than 10%, but I give about 4% to my local church. I give about 3% over here to Compassion. I give about 2% to World Vision. I give about, you know. No. The first fruits, the 10%, goes to the house of God, goes to the local church where you worship. For instance, Maisie and I, we give the first fruit, the 10% here. Now, we also have Compassion Children that we support in Tanzania and in India. That's above and beyond. That's an offering beyond the tithe. We also do things with other parachurch organizations and ministries here and abroad, but that's beyond the 10% because the whole tithe goes to his house. Just a little clarification there, all right? And then number 7, tithing proves that I really love God. Jesus said, if you really love me, do what I command. It's simple. It's very simple. And yet, I know that this creates some fear or stress or anxiety or confusion. And let me just say this. And those of you who've been around here for a while, you know that I don't believe in giving anybody a call or a challenge without also giving you the equipment to rise to that challenge, whether it's in regard to faith or prayer or small groups or giving, whatever it is. So let me give you some help, because that's why we offer Financial Peace University at least twice a year here to, you know, get people out of generating debt into generating godly wealth in beautiful ways. So this weekend, let me offer the following array of help to you. To begin with, the ushers are going to start passing among you right now some baskets filled with cards. Okay? Now, what I want you to do is to take a card out of the basket when it comes to you. It says yes across the top. It's very simple. I just encourage you to check the box by each of these yeses. If you're saying yes, if you're saying no, that's cool, okay? But I want to encourage you to say, yes, I want to be in position to receive the best of God's blessing for my life. Yes. Yes, I will pray and plan to move in the direction of God's will for my giving in 2016. Trusting God every step of the way. Is this like a contract you're signing to say, starting next weekend, I'm giving 10%, 50%? No, it says, I'm going to pray and I'm going to plan. I'm going to make specific planning efforts to move in the right direction to be in accordance with God's will for my life. All right? And yes, I want Pastor Matthew to pray individually for me every day in 2016 as I pursue God's pathway to his best blessings. And let me tell you, I've never offered this before, and I've never done this before. God spoke very clearly to me about this. That if you really want to chase hard after God on this, I want to pray a provision of blessings over you so abundant that the windows of heaven will open up, Malachi says, and you won't have room enough to take it in. And I want to pray for you by name individually every single day between now and the end of 2016 for not only financial provision, but relationship, health, peace, purpose, wisdom, joy, provision in your life. In fact, over the weekend, as hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these cards have been coming in, several folks have been saying to me, gosh, maybe you ought to make that weekly, maybe monthly. I said, no, God told me to pray over people daily who have asked for that. And it's not because I'm checking up on you. It's not. Can we just have a little trust going on here? This is a pastoral thing. I want to provide prayer coverage for you. That's all this is about. It's this is about. And then finally, yes, I want to receive the gift of the genius of generosity to help me find financial freedom and follow God and the calling of generosity. Now, some of you may already have this, and go ahead and check yes, but indicate I already have it, all right? But it's a little book by Chip Ingram. It's a quick little read called The Genius of Generosity. And it's just so real and authentic and practical, nothing kind of hyper phony or false in it. It's just great. I just really want to give this to you as a gift, if you indicate that. And we will be getting that to you. Now, as you fill those out, you check those boxes, I encourage you to sign it and then put your contact information there. By the way, that's not a perforated line. So, you know, don't worry about that. It's one whole card. Later, when we receive communion and you come forward to receive the elements, before you take the bread and dip it in the juice, there's a basket here as well as on the side for you to drop these in on your way up. And I just simply encourage you to do that. Because it's no mistake why we're having communion on a weekend with a message like this. Because a message like this may make you think about financial debt, but the truth is there's a bigger, more important debt in our lives. It's a spiritual debt. It's a sin debt that we owe God. Because of sin, because of imperfection in our lives, because we've missed the mark, we owe a debt to God who's perfect and holy and transcendent in that way. And we need to pay that debt. But the truth is that debt is so big in my life and in your life that we can never repay it. We can't work hard enough, achieve hard enough, earn enough, you know, give enough. And can I just say something? This whole thing about tithing, can we be very clear about this? It is not about your salvation. You don't earn your salvation. You don't achieve. You don't buy your salvation. And it is not about maintaining your salvation. Well, I got to keep God happy with the tithe because I don't want to lose my salvation. Can we just get rid of bad theology once and for all? You're saved in Jesus Christ by faith alone through the grace of the cross. Tithing is about enjoying your salvation and spreading your salvation through the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's get real clear about that. Because God knew that you and I would never be able to overcome the sin debt in our lives. He came himself to pay the debt on the cross in Jesus Christ, where he took the punishment that you and I deserve, where he took the hit for us, where he took the bullet for you. And he went to the cross to demonstrate that love for you. And this broken bread represents his broken body. And this juice represents his shed blood on the cross so that what's broken in your life may be whole. What is in your life that is stained by sin can be washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why this is such good news, that we can find both financial freedom and spiritual freedom in Jesus Christ. And so as the communion stewards come forward to prepare the elements for the stations, I just invite you to prepare your hearts to come forward. And as you come forward, as the ushers direct you to take off a good-sized piece of bread, no teeny pieces around here. Take off a good-sized piece of bread, dip it in that juice, consume it. You can circle right back around to your seat, make it a personal private altar. Just silent prayer to God. Just thanking him for what he's done for you. You can stay on bended knee up on the steps for a while if you want to do that. Understand the far corner is where some of our prayer partners are going to be. If you want prayers for healing in your life, physical, emotional, spiritual healing, go to them. They'll pray over you and release you. Just let them know how to pray for you. And that's in the far corners. And understand, this is an open communion table. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, whether you're a member or not. Communion is a means of grace through which you can experience Jesus Christ in your life and what he wants to give to you. The only thing the scripture says is that we need to understand, wow, what a great sacrifice, what a great love has been given to me. Father, we pray right now that you would consecrate these elements of bread and juice for us. That these powerful symbols and these representations of love may become for us a beautiful signpost pointing to the great, irrevocable, powerful love of Jesus Christ for my life. In Jesus' name.